2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 to 14, Apostle Paul's farewell thoughts. Apostle Paul's farewell thoughts. Let's stand as we read the four verses. Apostle Paul's farewell thoughts. Actually, there's another part to that. Title, Reflections for ABC and Me. Okay, let's stand, all right, as we give reverence to God's Word and as we read 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 to 14. Okay, I'll read 11, you read 12. I read 13, then we all read 14 together. Ready? I'll read 2 Corinthians 13, 11 first. The Bible says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." Verse 12. Verse 13, "All the saints salute you." Verse 14, let's read together. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Okay, let's dismiss. Sorry. All right, that's what Paul said. Let's have one of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this man of God, this Apostle Paul. Lord, his life is exemplary. His suffering oftentimes intense. His love for you, Lord, is so tremendous. His service untiring. And Lord, in the face of fierce opposition and persecution, the Apostle Paul stands as a light for us Christians. And in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, he said, "Be followers of me, even as I follow Christ." And Lord, even as we study and read his epistles upon which the local church is based, the apostolic doctrines, I pray, Lord, his heartfelt final words would encourage us to do the same. May Ambassador be grounded, Father, in the apostolic doctrine, in your word, when the world is sweeping away to follow men's philosophies, human wisdom, and laws that doesn't even pretend, Lord, to be godly. Help us to stand grounded in your word. Every child, every teenager, every young person, every parent, will, Lord, build their entire lives on your word. And so, Lord, even as we open your word, the few words that you've given to us here, speak to us in a special way. May it lift up our heavy hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. It is Apostle Paul's farewell thoughts. Okay, I said we're dismissed because usually in verse 14 it's called a benediction. Okay, it's called a benediction. And usually in some churches they would practice the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Basically to be a benediction, a final prayer for everyone before they leave the church. Okay, that's why I say let's dismiss. Of course we don't practice that, but recognize that the Trinity is with us at all times in our lives, okay? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But these are Apostle Paul's farewell thoughts. These are the final few words that before Paul finished writing to the Corinthian church, he gave these few words, and we'll be studying some of the words here. The Bible says all scripture, every word, is given by inspiration of God. So which means that God actually has meaning for every word that is used, okay? Now, a few points by way of introduction. All these words, okay, in verse 11, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, the God of love and peace shall be with you, greet one another with an holy kiss, okay, all the saints salute you. All these are given in what we call the imperative mode in the Greek language. That means all these are commandments. It's non-negotiable principles that Apostle Paul, as the Apostle of God, when he wrote to the Corinthian church, he said, "These are the things, as an apostle, I'm writing to you that I want to see happen in the church." All right? And so, the imperative mood, okay, means it expresses a command to the hearer to perform a certain action by the order and authority of the one commanding. When Apostle Paul says, be of good comfort, be perfect, he's not giving a suggestion. He's not giving an encouragement. He's saying, I want you to be growing. I want you to be of good comfort. I want you to be perfect. I want you to live in peace. I want you to be of one mind. This is apostolic doctrine according to this principle here. Okay? So these are the non-negotiable truth of the Bible. If we are Bible believers, we will need to obey this in our lives. I'll be using each word to indicate some of the apostles' heartfelt desire for the church as a whole and for each individual Christian. Okay? You can say that this is the Lord's will for us, as it is the revealed word of God. And before I go into the different words, I want to ask a question. Am I understanding and applying this in my life as a believer and as a member of Ambassador Baptist Church? Okay, reflections for Ambassador and me. All right, the first word we want to touch on is, finally, brethren. Brethren. The word brethren is interesting because the word brethren means from the same womb. From the same stomach, womb. Okay? So when Apostle Paul says, farewell, brethren, he's saying, look, you and I have a very close, intimate relationship, brethren. When I say Brother Rolando, when I say Brother Joshua, or Brother Matthew, it ought to mean something. It ought to mean something. When I say Sister so-and-so, it ought to mean something. We are from the same womb, the womb of God's grace. Amen? We're from the womb of God's love. We have the same blood ties, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So when Paul says, brethren, it ought to mean something. You know, I'm sure many of you may see some show and say, and hey, brother, you know, talk like that. It means there's some form of kinship, right? Some form of relationship. And usually, maybe it's in a gang or in some identity within the group. But you know, for Christians, when you say Brother Roy or Brother Henry or Sister Annalyn, the Christians, it ought to mean something. We are brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, from the same womb of God, because he must be born again. And that's why the local church is made of believers. We must understand that. What does it mean to you when you say brother or sister so-and-so? The first one, brother. Okay, the second one, Paul says, farewell. You know what that farewell means? It means to farewell. Okay, basically it means be blessed. It's usually a departing greeting. Okay, knowing Paul's heart. Paul wasn't only sharing and say, hey, farewell. You know, sometimes, bye-bye, you know, we say bye-bye. Not Paul. Paul said, farewell means, I wish you all the best in your life. I wish that God will bless you in everything that you do. You know, the second point is be blessed. Be blessed. Paul wishes them, not only well, but wishing them joy and happiness and blessings in their life. His relationship with the Corinthian brethren, his heart was so much for them that he doesn't just say bye-bye. He said, I wish you all the best in all your endeavors. That God will lead them and guide them in the right path. Because of the brethren heart, it's our heart for the brethren too, that we from our heart can wish our brethren. I wish God. Now when we live here, when we leave this place, in our hearts and mind, when we look at Brother Rolando or Sister Mars or Brother Desmond and say, all the best to you that God has for you this week. You know, many Christians, in Singapore especially, we live in a very individualistic life. A very self-centered type of society. It's me first. Everything is me. God wants us to understand we need to fare well for our brethren. We need to bless them. Okay? Bless them. Pray for these people, your brethren. Okay? Firstly, brother, then be blessed, farewell. And number three, he says what? Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be perfect is the next one. The word perfect simply means be mature. Be growing. Be mature. Be on the pathway to maturity. As our brother Denzel say, we need people to come for the Sunday Bible hour. You know why? You can't grow without input. You can't grow without the input of God's word. And I'm glad that there are some new people coming for the FBI this time. You can't grow without God's input. Okay? As many of us eat one meal a day, spiritually. For 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, I don't know. You know, God says the word of God should be in your mind day and night in order to grow. Some of us in Singapore, they say, if we eat spiritually, the way we eat physically, we'll be very strong Christians. Do you know what I mean? If as a Christian, you eat spiritually the Bible, the way we eat physically, 3 meals a day, some of us supper, and someone got double night snack, you know, at night, sometimes they say got big rats at night, they come out and open the fridge and drink and whatever. If we eat the way physically, we eat spiritually, we'll be very strong Christian. But many times, unfortunately, if we eat physically the way we eat spiritually, then most of us will be starving. You know what Paul says? Be perfect. The context is from the perspective of Paul, he was encouraging to deal with the inconsistencies in their lives and start growing into maturity in each area. Paul is not interested in just say, oh, all the best. No. Paul has just spent 12 chapters telling them, hey, let's get right, let's deal with this thing, let's be consistent. And when he says be perfect, he's saying let's deal with the inconsistencies in our lives and start growing. Okay? Example, I believe with all my heart, in order to grow, you need to serve. Okay? You can input, but you don't output, you become fat babies. Alright? We need to actually serve so that we can be strong. Okay? I think Brasso mentioned, which is quite interesting, because he says, teaching a Sunday school class, for example, being involved in some ministry, is a responsibility of the church member. Some people call it a calling. No, it's not. And in the scripture, you look at it clearly. When we serve as part of members of the church, we contribute and give according to whatever things that are necessary in the church that needs to be done. We need to put our hands to the plow and just do that work. Be perfect. We need to be growing. We need to be growing. The next one, be perfect. Remember, this is a command. Be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. We are not to be comforted with the things of this world, but with the things of God. The promises of God. Some are terrified by the things of this present world, but when we look on Christ, His Word, His promises, and His Holy Spirit, we can be comforted by the Word of God, by the God of all comfort, and by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So when Paul actually tells these Christians to be of good comfort, he says, don't seek your comfort in all the things of your life. Seek your comfort in God. Seek your comfort in God's Word. See your comfort in the Holy Spirit. See your comfort in prayer. Be of good comfort. And can tell you, you will only be comforted when you find your comfort in God. Because all other comforts are temporary. All other comforts are temporary. Alright? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4, you can read it inside the notes. Paul says, who comforts us in all our tribulation. God comforts us in all our trials. The word comfort means walking alongside of. In other words, God walks alongside of us in all our trials. He comforts us. When we are sad, He holds our hand, okay? And He dries our tears. When we need strength, He gives us the strength we need and pushes us forward. Who comforts in all our tribulation, remember, whatever we receive from God, there's a purpose. So that we can comfort someone else in their trials. Christians understand this. When Paul actually tells the Corinthian church to be of good comfort, he says, don't just give the comfort to yourself. When you're comforted by God, use it for someone else. Use it for someone else. Christians, we are not to be islands. We need to build bridges so that we can be a blessing to other people. Paul says, be of good comfort. And then verse 11, be of one mind with one another. Be of one mind. The word one mind means to think the same thing. As a church, we are to think the same thing. He's telling the Christians, hey, I want you all to think the same thing. Don't fight one another. Think the same thing. Just a simple example. Do we need a prayer meeting in our church? You realize the church cannot operate without prayer? Cannot. But Brian Tony, got people doing that. Yeah, people can do the work. But there is no power. You can have the engine there, you can have the wheels, you can even have a driver, but if there's no petrol. And through prayer we seek God's power to do the work for us. Because otherwise our church is just an empty shell. It's just a social meeting that we all come. You realize without the Holy Spirit and prayer, you can go back as empty as you came. Be of one mind. Be of one mind. When we all know that if we think that there's a need for a prayer meeting, so what do we need to do? We need to be at the prayer meeting to pray in unity so that God, it's God's will for us to be of one mind, to think the same thing, to be one, so the Holy Spirit can function effectively in the local church. Okay, I always use this illustration. You know, a water hose. Okay, there's a water hose attached to the pipe, but if there is certain debris inside the water hose, the water won't come out as fluent as it should. You know, many Christians' lives are not as strong as they should simply because there are hindrances. We need to get rid of those. Think the same thing. That's what Paul told the Corinthian church. We need to ask, are we one in Christ? And not only as a church. We can be members of ambassador, but are we one in the Spirit of God? Because otherwise, we fight as a divided army. And Satan can easily defeat us. Okay, are we one? That's what Paul says. And then Paul says, live in peace. You know, this is particularly important to the Corinthian church. You know why? Chapter 1 in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, look, there are divisions among you. Especially after the divisions in the Corinthian church, Paul admonishes the Corinthian church, live in peace with one another. Let's look at two verses. This is what Jesus told the disciples. In Mark chapter 9, verse 50, you can find it in your the bulletin there. Salt is good, but if the salt has salt is saltness, wherewith will ye be? Where will ye season it? So the Lord Jesus is talking about you being a testimony. Okay? Salt is good, but if you lost your saltness, then how in the world are you supposed to be salted? Have salt in yourself. Have a good testimony. Be influential. And guess what's the next thing? Have peace with one another. You know, the disciples were arguing who's going to be the greatest. You know, who's going to be the Lord Jesus says, look, the Lord Jesus himself said, have peace with one another. That's the will of God in interpersonal relationships. In 1 Thessalonians 5:13, Paul tells the Thessalonians, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. You know, Paul told the Thessalonian church, I want you to look out for the men of God, esteem them highly, and be at peace among yourselves. That makes the job easier. Then Paul told the Corinthian church, be at peace with one another. And notice what he says, if you live in peace, the God of love and peace shall be with you. When Christians love one another, they have reason to expect that God of love will be with them. When they live in peace, they may expect the God of peace will take up their dwelling with them. If there's contention and strife, God has no reason to be there. No one wants to come into a house full of contention. And God says, look, I'm not going to be there if you guys want to fight. Paul says, live in peace with one another. Well, the next one is interesting. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Alright, there was one time my children saw this. You know, what Charles Schultz, is it? How many of you know who Charles Schultz is? Who's Charles Schultz? He's the drawer of Peanuts. You know Peanuts? Snoopy and all the girls. So I have this book. It's all pictures. It's about the teenage Peanut. What's his name? Charlie Brown, thank you. It's a teenage Charlie Brown, okay? And I bought this book from Australia. And the title is, I Take My Religion Seriously. I Get Into Arguments Every Day. And in the pictures, one of the pictures with this, greet each other with a holy kiss. All right? And Charlie Brown was folding his arms and then looking. He was saying, look, I know the Bible says, greet each other with a holy kiss, but keep your hands off my girlfriend. Something like this. All right? In the traditional Middle Eastern culture, when you actually kiss one another, it's actually a Middle Eastern Mediterranean custom of kissing one another on the cheek. So, okay, all right. I think we do that here. People will think, "Wait, we just stay away from those guys." You know, sorry, Saudi Philippines. Okay. Okay, maybe your husband and wife, alright, that's fine. Okay, but you know, it's a Middle Eastern custom of kissing one another on the cheek. Okay? It was something like Western culture of shaking of hands, okay? This greeting, during the time of Paul, was a very interesting one because this kiss between the brethren of the church is a token of mutual and sincere love. And is usually taken just before, done just before the Lord's Supper. As an indication that there's a very close relationship, okay, between the two. Paul exhorts these people to use it in an innocent manner, okay? That's why it's called a holy kiss, a set-apart kiss, a kiss that shows the affection for these brethren. What kind of greeting do we have that shows our mutual sincere love for one another? Some of us may, you know, go up to this person and say, and shake hands. Sometimes people shake hands, they shake hands. Or they might, you know, yeah. They do different things, you know. Or maybe, you know, among the ladies, maybe they will, whatever. What is that token that you will give someone to show your sincere love within the local church? You know, sometimes people may go to someone and say, hi, bro, you know, that kind of thing. And the sincerity within the local church is exhibited through outward action. When Paul tells the Corinthian church, greet one another with a holy kiss, okay? I'm not advocating that in our church. We need to find what's culturally acceptable, okay? So guys, doesn't mean, oh, Paul says greet each other, holy kiss, and go to every sister. No, all right? You'll be up for discipline if you do that. All right? And probably the parents will deal with you as well. But you know, we need to find, like, in our culture, is it shaking of hands? Do you just shake hands? Or do you shake, brother? How many of you shake hands, you know, like, no strength? Don't you shake with a firm handshake, or you look at the person and you smile? Yeah, amen. Yeah? And that's what Paul is referring to. The point is, be sincere towards one another in the local church. No, Paul wanted to encourage this in the local church. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Even in the outward greetings, there is that unity factor. It represents three things. It reflects a relationship in Christ that is sincere and mutual. In other words, when I shake hands with Brother Henry, it shows that we are brothers in Christ. Yeah, I'm the pastor, the visitor. But you know what? When we shake hands, there's a meaning in our relationship. We are Christians. We have a relationship in Christ as mutual. It also reflects a willingness to include the other person in our life. Okay? And also it reflects that the Lord Jesus Christ is in our relationship. In these few words that Paul gave us, brethren, it ought to mean something. Farewell, we need to have a heart of blessing for the brethren. Be perfect. We need to actually aim to deal with inconsistencies in our life and be growing, be mature. Be of good comfort. We need to seek comfort in Christ, in His Word, in prayer, even in the fellowship of God's people. We need to be of one mind. Basically, Paul says, be in unity. Because as a church, Satan can take you out anytime. Can take you out anytime if you're not united. Live in peace. Be at peace with one another. Because our God is a God of peace. Amen. He's the Prince of Peace. He cannot be the Prince of Peace if the church is at war with one another. And that's what Paul is encouraging these people. And then the God of love and peace shall be with you. And then be sincere with one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And then Paul in verse 13 says, all the saints salute you. Okay, he involves all the other Christians. And then in verse 14, as we close, he says, God's grace, God's love, and God's relationship, God's communion be with you. As we finish 2 Corinthians, we finish our message already. It's very simple. The question we need to ask ourselves is, does it mean anything when we call brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so? Does it mean something? Do we have a heart of blessing for the brethren? That we will wish each other well in everything in our lives. That we will not have things that will separate that wishing well. Do we encourage each other to be perfect, to encourage each other to grow in small ways, big ways? Are we encouraging us to have good comfort? Not what we can give, but what God can give in this word, through fellowship, through serving together. I don't know about you, but when I enjoy war movies. I think my children are taking to war movie because Jeremiah had to do his final essay on World War II. So he's watching a lot of Germans and Russians and tanks and fighting. I know when it's such an encouragement when the soldiers, when they're fighting, and you see everyone just fighting together. Yeah, they may go down, the soldiers are coming to help one another. You know, the encouragement you can feel, be of comfort. And I believe very much God made the church so that you can be a refuge from the world. That's why when Paul taught these principles, in the world is a cold winds and storms. But within the local church, God says, be of good comfort. You can seek that. And then to be of one mind, be united. Live in peace. And God's presence and His love will be with us. As we close, do we have this in our lives? Do we actually have this in our lives? These are just simple principles as Paul ends 2 Corinthians. We went through a lot of things in 2 Corinthians. I hope you remember some. But as Paul departs, he's planning to come again to the Corinthian church. But before he left these instructions. And Christians, for us, do we have this in our hearts? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I know it's a short message. I know that for all of us, we probably are, well, so short. But Father, deep within this farewell greetings of the Apostle Paul, Lord, there's so many things that you're probably speaking to us about. Paul tells the Corinthian church, finally, brethren, farewell. And then he tells us to be mature and be of good comfort, live in the Spirit, pray, be one, be at peace, and to be sincere towards one another, greeting each other with a holy kiss. Lord, as Paul reflects for the Corinthian church, and Father, as we reflect on our own lives, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us in a special way. With eyes closed, heads bowed, I know it's a short message, but is there anything in your life that God has spoken to you about, you know, in these few words? Is God asking us to, when we say brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, it actually means something? When we say farewell, do we have a heart of blessing from the other brethren? To live in peace, to be of one mind. Do we greet each other with a sanctified action way that we would treat the other person with a heart and say, Lord, I'm sincere towards you. That was the Apostle Paul's heart for the church. Is that a heart? Is there anyone who says, Brother Johnny, God has spoken to me through one of the words? And I say, you pray for me that God will help me. Is there anyone like that? Is there anyone like that? Amen. I see that hand. Is there anyone? Put our hands here. Pastor, pray for me that God will help me to have these words in our hearts. Is there anyone else? Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this one hand that's gone up. Whatever that need is, whatever you have spoken to these brethren about, I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen, give grace and wisdom how to translate that into practical life. Father, I do not know what the situation is, but you do. As always, I ask your Holy Spirit to be the mentor, to be the coach, to be the comforter beside us, so that, Lord, we can take your word and we can grow with it. We thank you, Lord, for our church. We thank you, Father, for the people that have given so much to make sure it's running. We thank you, Father, for the many people who go out on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We thank you to the people who maintain the chapel. We thank you, Father, for the Sunday school teachers who give of their time and their efforts for the ministry of these children. We thank you, Father, for the people who clean the church, people who faithfully, Lord, maintain the roster and do the things, Father, that needs to be done. Even though many people may not understand or go through what the cleaners do, but yet, Lord, they would spend their time and effort and many times with perspiration and hard work just to make sure the church is ready for service. We thank you, Father, for the youth workers who with their heart and tears sometimes for this youth that they would pray and prepare lessons and be willing to do their best for them. Thank you, Lord, for the media people. Thank God that they've spent time and effort to put things up so that people from faraway lands, even locally, can be blessed, and that we can always access. We have a whole archive of messages and articles that can be an encouragement. Thank you for the Filipino ministry too. Lord, that you would use them in a powerful way to reach their own countrymen. Many of them without Christ. Many of them lost. Many of them discouraged. But yet, Lord, use the Filipino people here, the congregation, Lord, to reach their own countrymen, that many will find Christ and hope. Lord, thank you for the many children we have. We ask you to, Lord, I pray for every child to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, without exception, Lord. I know you can answer that prayer. And that, Father, that all of us will put in our efforts to make sure they grow in Christ. And, Father, to be able to withstand the onslaught of Satan in the next generation. And Lord, also, thank you, Father, for people who come for Chinese. Father, I pray you would grow the Chinese people and into a loving army for you. Lord, I'm sure there are many people I've missed. But I pray, Father, that you bless and bless them. That, God, you would use every one of us for your honor and glory. I pray for everyone who is undergoing a trial, a temptation, perhaps right now, maybe in exams, or maybe they're anxious. I pray for the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit to be with them. And to know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. They can trust you. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray as I sing the closing hymn, speak to our hearts, Lord, and encourage us. And one more thing, Lord, I pray for every family who has an unsafe loved one, or two loved ones, or three loved ones, whether it's a child, or parents, or whoever. Lord, I pray that you use every one of us as lights in our families, as lights in our workplaces, as lights in our school. That, God, you will use us to win other people to Christ before you come. So, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray you encourage our hearts. With these final words, help us to grow. Help us to be of one mind. Help us to be sincere towards one another. That your name will be honored and glorified. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.